Welcome to the ECC podcast. We're glad to have you with us listening today. Today we have our guest Jerry Callens from Christian Family Services. Jerry is the director over there and holds a place very near and dear in my heart because he was the director and very influential in my family, my wife and I, Heather, and our adoption of our daughter, Rebecca. So we are excited to see him and connect with him and his wife, Deb, again. And we here at Inglewood have been partnering with them since the early 90s, I believe.
28 years.
So early 90s. Yeah. So they've been partners of ours in our Faith Promise Giving since then. And we're excited to have him with us at our Faith Promise Weekend. As you listen to this podcast, this is a historical, a pre-recorded session, but wanted to give Jerry a chance to share a little bit about what's been going on lately with CFS and give us an update on and maybe tell us a little bit about what it's like to walk through. So Jerry, glad to have you with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Why don't you give us a little brief history about CFS to kind of maybe let people know kind of where it came from or where it is and going and stuff like that.
CFS started in 1978 by a single congregation initially, right across the street from the University of Florida. And obviously this is right after Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of in response to all of these unplanned pregnancies, sure, that they were observing, and obviously the advent of abortions, yeah, becoming legal and happening a lot more often.
Yeah.
So it began to grow and very quickly outgrew a single church.
Sure.
And so it was incorporated and has been overseen by a board of directors from around the state of Florida for, we're approaching our 42nd year.
Wow. What a great, just initially, my first thought is what a great response for the church to have something like that happen in that time period, and not to just, prayer is effective,
mm-hmm,
but then prayer accompanied with action is,
right,
even more effective. So
right,
to see that happen, that beginning of going, we need to do something.
Yeah.
And to start CFS was very proactive in that movement. I'm excited to see that. So how long have you been with CFS, Jerry?
I am coming up on my 18th year.
Wow. Yeah. So I've known you for about 14.
14.
Yeah. Yep. So you had not been there very long when we came in touch with each other. So let me ask you to do this if you can. I'm familiar with it, having gone through myself, but can you maybe walk us through maybe part A and part B? Maybe part A would be a young mom or a mom who's pregnant and wants to consider adoption, how that process goes of them maybe A, hearing about you, B, contacting you, and your follow through with all that and getting that. Can,
right,
you walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. Sure. Since I have been there, things have changed in the way moms find us. When I started it, our sole advertising, if you will, was Yellow Pages.
Wow.
Everybody had Yellow Pages.
Just to clarify, for those that are under the age of 30, Yellow Pages were these really, really thick books you would use to put your toddler on to sit in the chair,
right,
to eat dinner. And it was also where all the phone numbers were,
right,
on your rotary phone that you had to dial. So now that we're all caught up on history.
So they found us through Yellow Pages. And also we tried to work very closely with local pregnancy centers and hospitals. And so at any given time, we would get maybe half our referrals from each. Some,
wow,
would find us directly. Some would be referred to us from pregnancy
so
centers.
So like the Yellow Pages is a young girl, desperate, confused, overwhelmed,
right,
just picks up the phone and calls.
Well, or sometimes a parent or a friend or someone else would say, hey, I've got a number for you.
Oh, wow.
You need to call this.
Yeah.
And so, but obviously times have changed,
yeah,
and nobody knows what Yellow Pages are anymore, much less how to use one.
Mm-hmm.
And so they simply Google.
Yeah.
So social media has become extremely important.
Yeah.
And in a sense, made it a lot more difficult for them to find us. It's easy in one sense, but it's difficult because it's extremely expensive to be,
yeah,
involved in marketing on,
yeah,
social media.
Yeah.
And so we're up against the attorneys and for-profit agencies or whatever who think nothing of spending $10,000 a month or whatever on,
yeah,
that, and our budget is $3,000.
Yeah, and you're trying to find any way to get an appearance on somebody's,
yeah,
sidebar to Facebook or
right,
a Google pop-up or anything,
yeah,
like that. Yeah.
So, but they do find us, and yeah, as a ministry, that's something we pray a lot about. But I work hard and constantly to remind myself, this is God's ministry. It's not ours. And he's the one who ultimately, he knows the future that he has planned for these babies. He knows where he wants them. And he already knows who they're going to be matched with if she chooses to place for adoption. So we have to put a lot of trust in him to lead those moms to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So a mom contacts you, and how's that conversation go?
We, our primary office is in Gainesville, but we cover about half or two thirds of the state of Florida.
Wow.
And we're only licensed to work with moms in the state.
Okay.
But when they contact us, very few, even if they're in our local area, very few moms come to the office. Our policy is we're going to go to them.
Absolutely.
We're going to make it easy on them. Many of them don't have transportation, and they're relying on someone else. So we take that card out of the equation.
Just remove that obstacle.
And
yeah.
So instead of her not showing up because, oh, somebody didn't come pick me up on time, we go to them.
Yeah.
And plus we get to meet them in an area of where they're most comfortable.
Yeah.
Usually their home or somewhere else, or at least a neutral place, but still confidential where we can talk.
Yeah.
So we're going to sit down with her and no strings attached, just really try to get to know her. For us as a ministry, it's relational.
Yeah.
It's, and so we're not there with a predetermined ideal of what we want her to do. Yeah. It's to come alongside her, give her the information she needs so she can make the best choice when that time comes for her baby, for herself, and maybe for the other kids that she already has. Yeah.
And you have a reputation also following up with mom even after. It's not like the adoption and then done. They're a file and you're done with them. But there's a follow-up and a ministry with them even beyond this.
Right.
Yeah.
We meet with them usually on a weekly basis. So that means we spend a lot of time on the road. We meet with them regularly. We don't call it counseling, but it's relation building. And so it's usually more informal. Yes, we're exploring more holistically. We're exploring what her needs are, what her circumstances are, what resources does she have available? Where's the shortage? She may not be able to work because of the pregnancy, or she may have other children and not be working at all and has been kind of floating around.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out how we can best meet her needs and not always her wants, but meet her needs.
Yeah.
So that she can be safe and the baby gets prenatal care and is healthy and everything. So the more that we can help in other ways, that's fewer things on her plate to have to stress about.
Absolutely.
And she can really focus on what's going to be best for this pregnancy.
So definitely from the outside, for obvious reasons and appearances, you know, a lot of the photos are adoptive parents and the new baby, but there's a whole nother side of it that's just not for the public eye, but the ministry that goes on, that you love these young ladies, you know, and your ministry, CFS, comes alongside them and supports them and encourages them and relationally ministers to them.
We help them to work through that process. We ultimately, if she still believes she's on track for an adoption plan, we ultimately help her to choose the family. We want to empower her as much as possible through this pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So we allow her to choose the family that she's going to be most comfortable with, that she can picture and see her child growing up with. We help prepare her for the hospital and what that's going to be like. That's probably one of the most difficult things that we do because she has no clue how difficult it's going to be, how God has created women, and that natural instinct that the minute that baby is here, suddenly her world is upside down and she's feeling things she never dreamed of before.
Yeah.
So trying to prepare her for that time and what she wants the 2 or 3 days in the hospital to look like.
Yeah.
Does she want to simply be alone with the baby all that time? Does she want the family to be there also? Does she want to spend time with them? Does she want the baby to be with the family during that time
and not
rather
her
than
at all,
her,
or vice versa?
Just the whole gamut. And our role, we're there almost 24/7 the whole time she's in the hospital, just to try to help facilitate her desires, her needs at that point. And even though we'll have a hospital plan before we get there, we tell her, look, it's going to change.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
yield change. And so we're constantly saying, okay, we know we said we were going to do this. Is this still what you want to do? Mm-hmm. Do you want to do this differently? Well, you're saying you want to spend time with the family. You're really tired. And let me suggest, why don't you try to get a nap? And so we're really trying to look out for her, And we tell our families this, unlike most agencies, where the family is the primary client. They'll talk about birth moms, but the family's their client because that's who's paying bills.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a ministry, we tell her and we tell our families, no, this mom is our client. Absolutely. This is our focus. And it's not even the baby because the baby's not here.
Yeah.
And so all of our focus goes into what's going to be best for her and help her the most. Yes, we love families. Wife and I are adoptive parents ourselves. Yeah. We have two beautiful now grown daughters who were adopted as infants. So we've been there, done that. And we want it to be a ministry for them. But our primary focus is working with moms in a very uncertain time. And so we're there at the hospital. And especially, as you mentioned, we're there afterwards to help her through that grief and loss, which is going to be natural.
Yeah.
So that's the process from the birth parent side, birth mom side. What about the other side? You know, how does it begin the conversation from parents looking to adopt?
The interesting thing there, as far as adoptive perspective, adoptive parents, is we don't advertise. we don't have to.
Yeah.
We're constantly turning families away because through word of mouth, they've run into other families who have adopted through us, or their church or someone else has told them. And would love to work with all of them. But again, it's supply and demand. And so it depends on how many moms we're working with at the time. But they inquire. We look at what they're open to as far as gender and race and any possible medical conditions or anything else. And all of that gets factored in. We try to keep our lists especially as small as possible.
Yeah.
But yet large enough that when we're showing profiles to moms, they have a wide variety to choose from.
Yeah.
So there's not a science there, but it's very difficult to try to play that game of not having too many families because as a ministry, we don't want families just sitting there waiting and nothing happening.
Wondering,
So
some of the adoptions are open, some are closed, some are, it's kind of whatever. Who kind of determines that?
The family and the mom, ultimately the mom.
Yeah.
And so if mom wants a totally open adoption, we're not going to show her profiles of families
that don't
fit that criteria.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's getting fewer and fewer because I think more people are being educated of the benefits and I'll explain the terms in a moment, of an open adoption as opposed to a closed adoption. Yeah. But once in a blue moon, we'll still get a family that says, no, we don't want any information shared. We don't want we don't want her to have any information about us. And we'll still do everything to answer their questions, talk them through the process, tell them what they need to do, and tell them what they need to ask other entities that we're going to suggest they contact.
Yeah.
Because we don't work with families that aren't willing to be at least some level of openness.
Yeah.
Because we've learned too much through the years and through studies that it's so much more beneficial for the child and ultimately the adoptive family.
Yeah.
Especially the healing for a birth mom.
Yeah.
If there is some level of openness involved. Most of the time people speak of open adoption and closed adoption.
Yeah.
Well, there are two entities, but then there's the whole gamut in between. And so anything, it's like showing profiles to birth moms to choose a family. That means it's not closed anymore because now she knows something about this family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we want that. And then it's going to be up to her to determine what her needs are as far as how often do I want to get pictures and updates and know how the child is doing? Do I want visits once or twice a year or whatever? Or do I want ongoing contact or is it going to be once a year that I want something? Yeah. We try to help that mom determine what's going to be best for her. And then we have to factor that in, though, when we're showing profiles to make sure that we're only showing families
of that,
that fit that criteria.
Yeah, you would want to have a selection, then realize later on it wasn't a match. So all that process, you know, it really is a whole sliding scale, which leads me to another, I think, a wonderful point to make regarding one aspect of your ministry that I think is unique in the world of adoption and agencies that help with placing children, about the financial side of things. You know, you hear horror stories or a Lifetime TV movie about, you know, some couple that goes and adopts internationally and they've invested $20,000 into fees and processing and travel and arrangements, and then something happens last minute and they have no child to bring home. You know, sometimes you're in the States, you just hear things like that. And mm-hmm. So I think some people have a fear of, I don't have that kind of money sitting in the bank, A, and B, I can't afford for it not to work if it doesn't work.
Sure.
You know, what happens? So one of the unique things of your ministry is a kind of a sliding scale aspect when
right.
it comes to that. Can you share a little bit about that?
Most agencies, and especially attorneys, obviously, but most of their fees are all up front. There may be some additional fees, small fees at the end, but basically they have to put everything up front. Ours is the opposite. Again, as a ministry, we will charge some small fees up front to cover, obviously, operating costs and things that we have to do. But we save the large, what we call a placement fee, and that is not charged until that baby is actually placed in their arms. Wow. Most entities, agencies, attorneys also pass on birth mother expenses during the pregnancy or whatever. And so they will maybe set up an escrow account ahead of time. And so they'll take money out. But as you mentioned, if mom gets to the hospital and ultimately changes her mind, that escrow account may be very low, if not empty. And so now the family leaves the hospital with empty arms.
And it may be empty escrow account. Yeah.
And so the attorney or the agency is going to say, okay, you need to put some more money back in here so we can match you with another mom.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that to families because, like you said, not everybody has a huge bank account.
Yeah.
And so as a ministry, we want it to be as feasible, financially feasible as possible. So we only charge a minimum amount up front.
Yeah.
We then charge the main placement fee at the time the baby is placed with them, and we do not pass on birth mother expenses because we don't want them to enter a point where they said, now we can't go forward.
Yeah.
So that comes out of our pocket. And that's one of the areas where we depend on partners like Englewood and so many others who are partnering with us, and those donations, that contribution, that those special, financial helps in various ways allow us to be able to continue to operate and work with as many moms as possible, knowing that a lot of the moms we work with aren't going to follow through. Mm. And part of our policy is if they're going to change their mind, we want to help them to change it sooner rather than later. We don't want them to go all the way through the through 9 months and get to the hospital and agonize and then ultimately can't follow through.
Yeah.
We want to, you know, sometimes play devil's advocate with them.
Sure, sure.
And ask all the hard questions, and because we want them to do that ideally before we even get a family involved.
Sure. Yep.
And protect the family emotionally.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on both sides of the
Definitely some ways for people to recommend that. I mean, obviously a way for people to share the work of CFS is through word of mouth. If you know of a family or a young woman or unwanted pregnancy, you can share with them that. What's the website to go to?
ChristianFamilyServices.com.
ChristianFamilyServices.com.
The more people who will, and find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or whatever, more people who will like us and follow us, that helps the search engines and
boost all that magic stuff
where we can't pay for that. But if we can get more people doing their thing with us, linking to us in various ways, and getting churches to actually put a link
on their website.
That helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for sharing that inside look at what that's like, that process and the ministry you do. Hopefully no one walks away with the thought of you're just an adoption agency in Jesus' name. I mean, there is relationship and ministry on both sides, and especially to that birth mom, in that process and everything they're going through. to be there for them. And then along with the adoptive parents and those families as well, too. So I know from firsthand experience, the blessings of your ministry. And just want to ask you as we wrap up, what are some things we can do for you? Obviously, we want to pray for you, but what can we pray about? And then if there's anything else we can do, what would that be?
Well, prayer is definitely the first and the largest thing that we always request of people, is to keep us in their prayers, and to be willing to speak about CFS to others.
Yeah.
And,
that's all right. Anything else we can do? I know you guys have some fundraiser things. You still do the baby bottle project?
Still do baby bottle boomerang. Many churches, sometimes ladies groups, sometimes children's education programs will do something special or whatever, because kids get excited about that.
We
always looking for churches or groups to find ways to get creative to do fundraisers for us. One of the churches in Gainesville is close to the university, and they allow us to park cars during the football season.
Oh, primo right there. Yeah.
And that's our single largest
fundraiser. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. Parking near the stadium. Yeah. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for being here with us this weekend. I appreciate your ministry and what you do with them and your team over there in Gainesville, and the lives you've impacted for a couple generations now with moms and children coming up. We thank you for that, and thank you for letting us partner with you. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Just want to remind you again, Inglewood Christian Church, we have our weekly Sunday school program at 9 o'clock on Sundays and our worship at 10:15. You are welcome to join us. Come as you are. If it's in shorts and a t-shirt, great. If you want to wear a coat and tie, that's great too. We'd love you just the same. Don't forget, we also have our midweek programming at 7 p.m. each Wednesday night, with a meal before that and lots of great opportunities. Be sure to check out our website, eccjacks.com, and you can share and find this podcast at iTunes or Google Play, and tell your friends about it and spread the word. Thanks so much.